bacon and biscuits.
Well, forget the apples. Slap some bacon on a biscuit. Let's go.
You're on the High Ground with Craig Flowers.
Johnny Oates,
how do you hear me?
Hey, Craig, I hear you loud and clear. Let's roll.
Allons-y! Good morning, Texans, and everybody that got here as fast as you possibly could. But remember why you came and why you're coming, and don't mess with Texas. Yes, indeed, there are a lot of states that may be great, but as we know, there is absolutely only one great state.
Learn it, know it, live it.
Good morning from the banks of 360, where the Longhorns will have first pitch tonight in the Super Regional. I am Craig Flowers. You are on the High Ground on 101.9, 104.9, AM 1260, streaming live on the Horn app and at hornfm.com, the flagship station to the University of Texas, talking all things sports, where tonight the great Craig Way will say goodnight to it as the Longhorns host the Florida State. Not Florida State, University of Southern Florida. I coached against Florida State, University of Southern Florida. We played against them too, Jamie Frazier, when we were with the little Army team, and they didn't like getting beaten by the Black Knights. The Black Knights were in the NCAA tournament, and they were eliminated by Texas Tech. But then last night, the Stanford Cardinal rolled up into Lubbock, and that didn't go so well for Tim Tadlock on a lifetime contract. Joining us side by side, the pride of East Austin with 10 combat deployments, a special operations helicopter pilot, former UC Davis Aggie football player, the owner of the world's friendliest Rottweiler. He has a hot and cold tub, which he just recently flipped to cold tub. He is the voice of Texas Wine of the Week, the one, the only, Jamie Free.
What's going on,
everybody,
Colonel?
Everybody talking about you, Jamie Free.
Yeah, everybody. Guess he's across the table from me.
He's got the links that we all wish we had, the locks that we all wish we had. I know I did. But if he wants to waste good hormones growing hair, that's his business. He is the pride of Jack Brown Cleaners throughout Central Texas with a long history, and he can hit a golf ball a very long way. Available for all member guest scramble tournaments, the one and only W. Will Brown.
Man, good morning, Colonel. Austin, you guys get dirty out there this weekend.
That's it. It's getting crazy out here. We got the Rot Rally. We got everything going on. But got Texas Super Regional, and we got, Jesus Boots hanging out. Colonel, what's going on?
You know, the Rot Rally, not to be confused with the Rottweiler, is something I've never experienced. I've only seen it from a distance, typically on the highways and byways of these United States. But explain a little bit of that for those of you that have experienced it yourself. What is it all about?
I went to one.
Have you ever owned a motorcycle?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I was a Ninja. I had a Interceptor 500, a Ninja 600, then
so
you're, Ninja
you're a
600
crotch R. Rocket guy. Is that what they'd call them?
Yeah. But I've been out to the rally once, and it was probably about, I don't know, probably 15 years ago out there at the convention center where they had it. And it was interesting. There was like, what's the bike gang here? The Banditos.
Is that what they are?
No, that's what like the Hell's Angels of Texas or like the Bandit. I don't know that much. Not to
our Waco people would know better, yeah, right?
but they were like, there was everybody. There's lawyers and doctors that trailered their bikes in. There was, I mean, every flavor of biker out there, and they all like. And I'll check it out. They have all these. They have concerts and they have like demonstrations, burnouts, and stuff like that. But then at one point during the day that I was there, like for about 12 hours. They all just start driving their bikes around in a circle, like this big, long, like through the whole thing. And the women on the back have no shirts on. And there's cops there and stuff. And there's like,
what, just, what are the cops going to do though?
I don't know.
You just watch, right?
Yeah, you're just like, okay.
I heard they moved it out to Coda now because it got bigger.
Yeah, it's just an interesting cross section of America, you know? That's all I have to say about that, Colonel. Yeah.
A lot of visuals here from the banks of 360 this morning. One visual that I always like to paint for our listeners is the status of the construction on I-35. We haven't done this in a while. We rated on a scale of 1 to 10. Of course, this is absolutely official. It has historically been in the low fives over the last 4 or 5 years. However, Interstate 35, the update from the high ground, Johnny Oates can do the breaking news. On a scale of 1 to 10, where are we right now with the construction on Interstate I-35? Waiting for the sound. Johnny Oates. There it is. It's official from the high ground. We are calling it a 6.18. 6.18
That's
construction on Interstate 35 has gone up a little bit.
You're generous.
Yeah.
It's real generous.
Nah, listen, I'm out traveling these byways and highways, and typically the great Bucky and I, and we're on the heels of the Mullet Open, and I've only seen the photos, and I get a little bit of facts, but I understand the Mullet Open was perhaps the best it's ever been yesterday. But I have driven on I-35 recently, couldn't avoid it, had to do it, and I gave it a quick official scoring of 6.18. Okay. Everybody knows the rules. There you go. A little shout out to our guy, Portnoy, over there. Gentlemen, last night we had some folks over for a port, a great wine, after dinner wine. And as we were sitting around, I broke out the Wild Caught Texas Gators boots from Chisos. I have number 5 edition of the Chisos boots. And we all looked at it and oohed and aahed, and people, you know, felt the retired dairy cow leather, and it was kind of a cool moment. And, you know, Chisos boots brings us the morning story. It is the most comfortable boot you will ever wear. And I understand that Chisos 6, the chief Texan over there, had to bring his motorcycle into the Chisos headquarters because someone tried to hotwire it and steal it from him a little bit ago. And, man, it's just all sorts of drama happening there in Austin right now. This gets us to the Chisos boots, the most comfortable boot you'll ever wear, morning story.
The morning story.
Last week, Coach Jerry Pettibone invited myself and Jeff Frito Fry, who played second base for the Texas Rangers, to attend an event that I had turned down the last couple of years, but finally Coach Pettibone convinced me I needed to go to an event at Billy Bob's, hadn't been there in 30 years, to an event called Sooners Helping Sooners, and he wanted me to meet Coach Barry Switzer. Coach Barry Switzer was there with some OU Sooners, some OU greats, to include a player who was born in 1965 out of Parkview. His name was Keith Jackson, the tight end who was a threat to go deep, but also worked well in the option offense those Sooners were running, became a Green Bay Packer and had a great NFL career. Coach Switzer shared with us a story that on Keith Jackson's recruiting trip, things got a little sideways. Keith arrived with his mother, Gladys, on the recruiting trip. They arrived into the hotel, and there was a lot of fanfare in the lobby of the hotel. And finally, Keith said, you know, Mom, I should get us checked into this hotel room so that I can come back down and start meeting with the coaches. So Keith Jackson went up to the lobby desk and checked in, and they said, yes, Mr. Jackson, the bellboy will take you up to your suite. Keith Jackson and his mom rode the elevator up to the top floor, and they entered into a beautiful suite, one with 2 fireplaces, 3 bedrooms. It was a massive suite for the young recruit. Mrs. Jackson, Gladys, her first name, said, this is unbelievable. And he said, yeah, I guess this is how they roll here, Mom. Mom, I've got to go downstairs to meet with the coaches. Will you stay here? And she said, oh, yes, I will. And she hopped up on the oversized king bed with 4 posts and said, I'm going to watch TV, turn the air conditioning down, and go enjoy your recruiting weekend. And as Keith Jackson, the player, went down the elevator, another gentleman named Keith Jackson was headed up on an opposite elevator, with another bellboy. And as they enter that suite, and we'll call this Keith Jackson, the Whoa Nelly Keith Jackson, the bellboy entered into the same suite. And Keith Jackson, the announcer who was there for the football game, saw Gladys laying there in the main bedroom of this giant suite and said, "Ma'am, how are you today?" And she said, "I'm fine." The bellboy said, "Ma'am, this is Keith Jackson's suite." And Gladys said, "You damn right it is." And whoa, Nelly, Keith Jackson backed out of the room with the bellboy, giving him the signal, went down to the lobby and checked himself into the player, Keith Jackson's one bedroom, single hotel room, and stayed there for the weekend. But for one moment, it got a little dicey on Keith Jackson's, the player's, check-in for his recruiting trip. And that's the Cheese House Boots morning story. Can you imagine sitting there and...
I can't imagine now. Yeah.
"Sorry, Keith Jackson, I am for real."
"You damn right it's Keith Jackson, sweet. Who are you?" "Whoa, Nelly, you're going to come out of the south end of the end zone."
Oh, my gosh.
Keith Jackson was there. Let's see, Joe Washington was there. There were several. Billy Sims was there. There were about, I don't know, six OU greats and Barry Switzer. I had to leave early. I mean, it got a little windy in there. A little OU goes a long way in that particular setting. But those Sooner faithful stayed for the whole event. It started at 3 o'clock, went to like 8 p.m. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Barry's a character.
You know, it's interesting, W. He took a lot of photos. And Coach Pettibone brought Coach Switzer straight to me and Jeff Fry. And so we had a conversation. Of course, everyone in the room wanted time with Coach Switzer. You know, Jeff and I were just guests. We were like, "Hey, this is, you know, great to meet you." And he was talking to us. And I knew one of his nieces, Suzette Switzer, who I understand lives in Dallas now. I lived in Arkansas for 3 years and went to school with one of Coach Switzer's nieces. And he was talking us up. And every Barry Switzer photo that he takes, at the last second before the cameraman hits the photo, he drapes his hand over your shoulder to make sure that the Super Bowl ring gets caught into the...
Jimmy's ring? Jimmy's third ring?
Oh, yeah, that's a funny deal, man. I promise you that. There were a lot of stories told that afternoon. Jeff Fry and I only heard a few of them. We had to pop smoke, and I had to head to Abilene for the Air It Out football camp, which went great, by the way, gentlemen. The Air It Out went great. But I tell you, some folks commented that David Thomas, he's the only guy I know that's won a national championship with, you know, Vince Young and Casey Studdard at Texas, and then has a Super Bowl ring, you know, with the New Orleans Saints. And then, of course, he played in the 16-0 regular season season with the Patriots. But he's the only one I know that's got a college natty and a Super Bowl natty. But he was on crutches. And a lot of people said, "Hey, what's David Thomas doing on crutches?" He had three knee surgeries during his NFL career, but he woke up about 2 weeks ago and his left knee was just locked up like an all cheese diet, so he had to go in and have it get it scoped. But the beautiful thing about David Thomas is he's always developing young mentors, and he had about four or five young receiving coaches that were able to go in and work the drills while he just kind of mentored them. So, you know, I guess the lesson there is, you know, if you're a leader, whether you're an AD, whether you're a head coach, you better be developing somebody who can step into your shoes to run the organization, to run the drills. And that's exactly what David Thomas had done. And so Air It Out didn't miss a lick, and we had about 160 quarterbacks and receivers. We'll be back for the Banks of 360, Johnny Oates.
This is Trace Atkins wishing my friend Craig Flowers all the best in Austin, Texas. I'll see you on the high ground.
Well, you bet. Fort Worth does cross my mind. It crosses a lot of people's mind in the great state of Texas, particularly in North Texas as Jim Schlossnagel spends his first couple of nights in College Station. I was texting with the 18-year veteran and skipper of the TCU Horned Frogs recently. I think it's a great fit for Texas A&M. And, you know, you're really constrained at a place like Rice and TCU. And when you look at the cost of tuition at TCU, for example, you know, nearing $70,000 a year, $70,000 a year, and you look at the dozen or so scholarships that baseball, for some ridiculous reason, is given by the NCAA, you're only going to be able to do so much. And if you catch fire and lightning in a bottle a couple of years, and in this case, he went, you know, went to Omaha 4 years in a row, you know, what else can you do? And, you know, you go to A&M and you certainly don't have the constraints of a $70,000 tuition bill. So I get it. I totally get it.
What's A&M's tuition?
Well, it's state. It's state level.
Is it state level?
Yeah, it's state level, and plus the living expense in College Station's cheaper than Fort Worth as well. Yeah. You know, living off campus and all that stuff, and all the, you know.
So, what did you think? Did you get to watch the Texas Tech game at all, Colonel?
I saw some of the highlights, and you know, the Cardinal got out 4-0 in the first. I think it's one of those odd games that happened to occur at a bad time. I don't suspect that. I think that Red Raiders will win today, and I think it'll come down to game three. I mean, when you look at the University of Oklahoma women's softball team, for example, one of only two teams, and perhaps the only team to have done it twice, they're only one of two teams to come from a loser's bracket and win a national championship this past week. And then they go into the Super Regional, and Florida State University smokes them out of the gate, very similar to what happened to the Texas Tech Red Raiders up in Lubbock. And then the OU Sooners women's softball team comes back. And I don't know why we say women's softball team. It's not like they have a men's softball team. It's a softball team. The softball team for OU comes back and wins a national championship. So I think Tim Tadlock's guys will come back today, win the game. I think it'll go to game three. And quite honestly, you've got a 9-8. Eight are the Raiders, and I think the Red Raiders will win that Super Regional. That's just what I believe is going to happen up in Lubbock. And I think the storyline will be great in Omaha, because you're looking at – I really want the Longhorns and Tennessee to face off in Omaha.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a week now, but I want to kind of redirect your attention. What about this DBU team, the other Texas team that's sitting around?
Well, we had our little fun in Fort Worth with DBU, and I got to tell you that coach and that program, which has been in development now for the last decade, they are for real. And I'm putting $2 on DBU. Going to Omaha and really going deep into that tournament. They are solid.
Yeah. I'm up on
and
your down side the lineup. And,
yeah, and pay attention to number 7 out there in right field. That kid reminds you a little bit of Mickey Mantle, just in his build and how he plays the game. He's a JUCO kid. I spent some time with his father, who was near us during the game in Fort Worth, and Dallas Baptist is a strong Texas college baseball. There's a reason why the Longhorns, the Frogs, the Aggies, and all these others will no longer play them during a midweek game. Dallas Baptist is now a national contender.
Oh, yeah, that might be an L on a midweek game. DBU deserves a three-game deserve a three-game series, I would think, now with some of the big boys. Because they've, you know, I've seen their name's been around the last 10, 15 years, you know, in the NCAAs.
They are huge. I mean, when you size them up against the Frogs in Fort Worth, we were stunned at how big they were. And I don't mean just tall. I mean, we have our share of length at TCU, particularly in the bullpen and on the pitching staff. But when you just look the size and strength and the bulk of these guys, they are remarkable. Of course, the kid out in left field made a game saving catch, which really prevented TCU from winning that regional. So Yeah, I mean, when you look at DBU, they remind you a lot of Jamie Freeze.
Hey, Colonel, do you mind if I get, we're on baseball here, do you mind if I get in with a little breaking news story?
Send it.
Thank you, Johnny Oates. For those of you who have been wondering, the Wimberly coach pitch all-star team came back to win in the sixth inning, 11-10, over Bertram all-star team. And the reason I say that is because my nephew's on the team, Cash Brown, who I'm very proud of. So, good job, boys. Way to get the victory.
Wow.
Back that, to you, Colonel.
I couldn't stay up. I couldn't stay up for that one, Debbie. I just couldn't. I was like Bucky. I had to go to bed. I was waiting for the results. Man.
That was on ESPN, Ocho.
That's right. That was the Ocho. Yeah. But, hey, man, when you see your little nephew out there playing some good ball, you got to report on it, right?
That's a great name, Cash Brown.
Oh, yeah. He is money. He is money at third base. The kid's got a cannon. Ken Caminiti. Watch out without all the, you know, the negativity.
Kim Caminiti was a heck of a ball player. You know, it's interesting when you look at, you know, Eric Leger was our leadoff hitter at Ranger Junior College. He played center field. He ran about a 6'5", 60. He's about 5'7" and just thick. He played 1 year at University of Texas, El Paso, and then came to Ranger Junior College. He's now a very successful executive with Aflac Insurance. Why am I telling you all this? Well, my first experience in college baseball was watching Eric Leger take the very first pitch from the left side and hit it down the line for a home run out of the Cracker Jacks box, 275 or 295, I forget, down the right field line at Ranger Junior College. He works his way around the bases. He comes home, and about 10 of our players, maybe 12, come out of the dugout to shake his hand for hitting a home run. Coach Jack Allen comes out of the stands. The head coach was watching this inter-squad game occur, comes out of the stands and say, listen, when you hit a home run here at Ranger, you get around the bases, you get back in the dugout, and you celebrate inside the dugout with your teammates. Okay, now some listeners will roll their eyes and say, let the kids play, hashtag all that stuff. Well, one of the reasons why I'm so interested to watch Tennessee play Texas in Omaha is this will be an emotional game driven by two very different coaches, David Pierce and whatever his name is in Tennessee. I know a little bit about his behavior in Tennessee, a young coach who does things differently than the way things have done in the past. And I can tell you that what I saw in Tennessee after a kid hit a deep ball, hit it in just an incredible moment, hit a grand slam to win the game, a walk-off granny, which rarely occurs, it's just going to be different. And it'll be the let the kids play to the class and elegance of the game that many of us grew up in and knew. And, you know, Greg Swindell would perhaps echo that. I think there's a fine line, but I would love to watch it play out with all the drama with the two orange teams going at it in Nebraska.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, didn't Coach Pierce say he had to go to third base coach to kind of be out of the dugout?
Yeah, because well, it's interesting. You know, Bucky and Aaron talked about that this week. Coaches just have a different – it's a feel thing. Mm-hmm. They want to – you know, Coach Pierce, I'm sure, would say this. I've worked with him a little bit, and I know our coach up at Army felt this way, that when he was at third base, he felt like he had a better feel for the mm-hmm. game
yeah.
when he was out on the field. A lot of coaches – look at the coach at Arkansas – by the way, I mean, Arkansas, let's go. I mean, those guys are on a roll, old Southwest Conference. That coach feels more comfortable in the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of a feel thing. I don't know how I would feel. I think I would be in the dugout if it were me.
Well, Augie was a dugout guy, and he had a lot of success, obviously.
Yeah, I think it's just a personal deal, but I get it. I totally get it.
What do you think about tonight's game? USF's in this, I don't know how big effect. You guys can tell me. You're a baseball player. USF really hasn't played in front of a big crowd. At the Dish Falk, it is sold out for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday if it goes three mm-hmm. games. Do you think that'll affect USF at all?
Yes, I do. I know what that feels like. I watched the little Army team get out in front of 8,000 at Florida State. And the year before, we were at LSU as the number four seed. And it can make a team get a little wide-eyed. When I coached at Army, we played USF at their place at a night game. And they don't have anything like, at least maybe they do now, but back in 2005, they had – you know, bleachers. When I say bleachers, I mean kind of the ones you kind of roll in.
Yeah.
And they don't have any experience. I'm sure they played a bunch of midweek games, particularly in that state. They probably played against the Gators, they have Florida State, you pick a bunch of others. But darn right it does. It has a big time, a big difference. It can make young players get wide-eyed pretty quick. And if you haven't repped it, if you haven't practice that, and there are certainly ways to do it, it can be a little overwhelming. So there are gonna be a lot of horns flashed tonight, you know, a lot of hookums.
I tell you what, we were watching I think Will was there too last week in was it Saturday's game, game two, who was it with?
It was Arizona State. Yeah. They had that pitcher rocked.
Right. The fans had this. This guy threw a pitch 20 feet over the catcher's head. This kid was struggling for the entire inning, and they had nobody working in the bullpen.
That catcher got his work in that day.
Oh, my gosh. It was amazing. But, I mean, the crowd, I live a mile from
Dish Falk.
From Dish Falk. You can hear the crowd from my house. It's crazy, and it's sold out for the next three games.
Well, the fans definitely had an impact in last week's game against ASU. They had that pitcher rattle. I think they scored like four runs off like no hits, it's all walks, and hit batsmen.
I think that I saw Drew Martin put out last night that they actually are expanding ticket sales. Starting at 6:30 tonight, there'll be some walk-up tickets available, kind of like standing room only type stuff. So I imagine you can still get to that ball game.
Probably can.
We'll be back from the banks of 360. Johnny Oates, send it.
Views expressed on this program do not reflect those of the Horn or any other sane human being.
I love the nightlife. I love my Bud Light. I like them cold and tall. I'm mowing thick grass. I'm too slow, working too fast. I don't do windows, so honey, don't ask. But I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
Good at drinking beer, Jamie. What's up, buddy?
How you doing? Are we? Let's talk about the 12-game playoff they're coming up with the NCAA.
Let's do that. First of all, we lost Colonel to looks like an AOL dial-up problem.
But, I mean, it's I've seen a lot of people talking about it. They're talking about doing it not this year, but it'll be the next year. And, you know, the thing that's driving the whole thing is money. I mean, there's possibly up to $1 billion of TV money that's coming up to NCAA and back to the schools. But what it would be 12 teams. They'd take the conference championships from, which now will make the conference champions actually mean really a big deal. Top five of the power conference. And then you'd have another seven teams. So you'd have 12 teams. First four teams that they picked would be given a bye. Mm-hmm. The following eight teams would have to do a one-game play-in to the final the final push.
And those are all at home sites,
those
right?
Those would be at home sites.
The higher
sites.
Seeds
you
host. Okay.
After that, after the initial one, then they go back to basically a bowl schedule to move that move it along.
So the round of eight would be on the bowl schedule. You go from 12 to 8.
You get to 12 to 8, correct.
Okay. I mean, I love it. I love anything that adds more teams, more excitement, you know. How are they doing the final eight teams? Is it a poll?
I haven't seen it. I'm sure it's going to be a poll.
Or it's the selection committee type thing.
Selection committee type deal. Same thing. Now we just opened up to 12, which it would give you. Remember when Boise State was left out? All these guys, Cinderella teams that were left out, Coastal Carolina, yeah. stuff like that. It would give those guys a shot, and there would be no more Monday morning quarterback that, they would have done well.
I love it. I mean, we were talking about this off the air about, you know, I thought six was the number that they should have started off
sure.
with, and you rewarded one and two. I thought they should have done that a long time ago, but getting it out to 12, absolutely.
Yeah.
Anything that can promote better games, because you got to remember, I mean, putting a – eight extra teams in a playoff is so much better than allowing these bowls to pick and choose, two matchups that you really don't even care about. You know, like Coastal Carolina. Well, now you take Coastal Carolina. Let's talk about somebody that's been around for a while, which is Boise State.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they have a good year, and, you know, let's say they finish number 9, 10, or 11. Now you put them in the playoffs instead of in the Humanitarian Bowl against Wyoming or something like that, you know, where there's a good matchup for the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
So I love it. Good for them.
But then you're also looking at some like Notre Dame's already come out and said that they're going to remain independent.
Well,
which
that's fine with
and
them.
That makes them ineligible for the bye top four. They have to play in no matter what.
But I'm sure they have some special rule. If Notre Dame finishes in the top 40 of they're automatically in, right? So it works out for them.
If they throw the most money, everybody wins.
Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's exciting. I think that it's given a lot of other, it even makes the bowls more exciting because there's moving on from there.
And it's actually spreading out talent too, right? I mean, like, not every great player can go to Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, OU, Georgia, whatever you want to name. Now it kind of spreads it out. It's like, hey, you know what? You can go to a other school and still get into a playoff or tournament environment.
Right,
so.
And they're not making it so, let's say the SEC has two great teams. Let's say Georgia, Alabama. Georgia can still be in it, you know?
I'm afraid it'll be five conference champions and seven SEC teams, right? That's how it'll be. They love themselves. Themselves, don't they?
Oh man, that would be watching more SEC football. Yeah. Great.
You know, it goes back to what I've said before is we're going to have portal teams, hybrid teams, which are developmental and portal, and then you'll have developmental teams, which are typically your traditional 4 or 5 year college experience where you're developed over time. So when you go to 12, now you're going to have portal teams playing against, you know, developmental teams and hybrid teams mixed in there. The storylines are going to be unbelievable. And I think that because you're going to have players that were playing just last year for this team that now they're up against.
Mm-hmm.
It also allows a young athlete to think, okay, this name, image, and likeness, it may be a really sweet deal. I may be able to go make, you know, more money at this university, but I'm a better fit at this other university that's developmental or perhaps sport or whatever it might be. So now the players, it's almost a counter to the name, image, and likeness. Now they've got to decide what type of college player do I want to be, and what is my college experience going to look like? And it's really hard for a 17, 18-year-old in the case of a portal player. You're looking at some will be 25-year-old portal players because they will have played college or professional baseball, and now they're a quarterback in the portal. Like, you know, you can pick one.
Right.
So it's really interesting.
Well, the other thing that I found pretty interesting is that, hey, listen, a lot of people want to get into these conference championships, and there may be another power conference that's going to be developed because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you may end up getting actually 12 football teams in the Big 12 that actually want to come in here and have a chance at a conference championship. So it could affect the conferences a lot. Not to mention like the portals you said. So, I mean that's going to be crazy.
So are you saying they're going to this could eliminate the conference championship game, right? Because if you're taking I guess you're still getting the conference champion.
Yeah, the top five spots are going to
I was thinking of it like baseball. It's like, wait, Texas won the regular. Never mind. There is no regular season in tournament in football. It's all the championship game.
Let's get behind what's really driving this, and that's money. Okay, it is. People have been screaming for this forever. Remember how happy we were when we got a four-team a playoff, and we were like, yes.
Well, money follows the better product, and the better product is putting, you know, 5 verse 12 in a game versus putting 12 verse, you know, Southern Utah Montana State. I don't think whatever that is, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. It's like you're actually you're putting a better product out there.
Yeah. But yeah, the portal has changed everything, and then also what, like the Colonel's talking about, the money that's going to come to these kids, that's going to change the outlook of this whole NCAA. I don't know.
That's
for the
a
better,
whole
for
nother,
the worst. Yeah, but it's coming quickly. I mean, it's September 1st. They're going to be able to actually get paid for their images, their autographs, you know, anything they have that's, you know, their own trademark.
That can of worms is going to be messy.
It is going to be messy. I don't know how they're going to fix it.
There's no way they can establish like some sort of fair protocol, is there? There's just no way.
Not that I know of. Yeah. No. I don't know. But yeah, it'll be interesting. It's exciting to watch college football. I can't believe college football is just around the corner. It is literally just around the corner.
Yeah, we are in June, isn't
it? And it's going to be full. I don't know about California and New York, but stadiums are going to be full. I mean, it's going to be, you know, welcome back to 2019. So
you're right, Jamie. When you look at the leadership in both of those states, California and New York, they continue to, under the guise of woke science, which evidently is different than science, they're continue to play the music there. By the way, wouldn't a great sitcom? I got a great name for a sitcom called Wokeville.
Everyone's messed up.
Where it's just a series of hypocritical game word choice. I mean, I think it would
TikTok.
Do well. I don't know if it'd get picked up, but I'd like to see the pilot.
I tell you what, Austin is growing like crazy. I don't know if you heard, there's a huge shooting incident downtown Austin last night. And there were, I believe, 13 people shot.
Yeah, but thank God no fatalities so far is what we've heard.
That was just, and oh, by the way, there's a lot of people doing campus visits this week during their.
Yeah, and I don't think they caught the guy either, have they?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I just heard about it when I got into the station. But
So I pray for everybody that they're okay. And anybody, you know, that's. just pray.
Yeah, it's a big city problem. That's what we got here. Austin, Texas is now the 10th biggest city in the United States, and which cracks you up because you're only the 4th biggest city in Texas, though.
We got some big city
problems. It doesn't feel that way when you're sitting back in your cold hot tub, though. They're over there in East Austin. You kind of feel like you're out in the country still.
No, and it doesn't look like that from the banks of the 360 either. You look out, and it's all just beautiful greenbelt.
Yeah, it is. But hey, Johnny Oates, we'll be back.
The Texas Wine of the Week.
Yes, it was a woman who drove me to drink, and I didn't even have the decency to thank her. When you hear that, you know what it is. It's time to support Texas grape growers, winemakers, winning, award-winning, double-blind, yellow gold, double gold, blind taste test against those Calis out there on the West Coast. And look, I had a great wine the other day, and I thought it was a Texas wine, but it was not. But it had a great name to it. It was called Austin Hope. I was like, man, I wish that was a Texas wine. But it had a great Texas kind of a ring to it. The voice of Texas wine. It brings to you every Saturday morning. You wait for it. You can't wait for the description of the wine. We're excited to find out what's it going to be. The one and only Jamie. Please.
Well, hey, Colonel, we got the Brent Dickey Memorial Wine of the Week. We lost Brent last weekend to a horrible drunk golf incident. He was lost somewhere near the fourth hole looking for his ball. If found, please point him in the direction of the clubhouse. But the wine of the week is 2017 Lostra Cellars Arroyo Blanco. Rich with the aromas of honeysuckle and orange blossoms, this floral white blend delivers a lean, delicate palate with flavors of tangerine, quenchy, grapefruit, and lead to a light, crisp finish. And that's the 2017 Lostra Cellars Arroyo Blanco.
You know, the finish of our wines of the week, you know, no one ever says it describes their wine as a muddy, dull, and dirty finish. It's always a clean, crisp, and sunshiny, floral packed. Look, the wine you just described from Lost Draw Cellars, which is the Texas Wine of the Week from Jamie Frazier, to me, that sounds like it'd be a great wine to go with oysters.
Okay.
However, the rule in oysters is you only eat oysters that have an R in it. June, it's not Juner, it's June. So there's no month, no R in the month of June. So I'm going to pass on oysters in June, July, and August. Had a little bad experience down in Mexico in August with some oysters Rockefeller many years ago and stayed with me for a while, well, for about 24 hours, and then I got rid of it. But oysters in June, not a good idea. But now look, some people, if you're up in, you know, northern France where the water is always cold, you probably got a good anyway, that Lost Draw Wine of the Week, Jamie, sounds like it'd be a good one for oysters. What are your thoughts?
I hate oysters, so it really doesn't matter.
I know.
Not a big wine drinker either.
Oh man. You know, I went down to the World's Fair in 1983 or 84 in New Orleans. And the oysters that year, they were so big, they looked like small apple pies. These things were like 8-bite oysters. They were massive. And as a young, impressionable 19-year-old, I remember looking at that saying, that doesn't look right. I'm not going to consume that.
I'm not going to eat that. No.
I'm not going to eat that.
Not going to eat that. Fast Eddie is very excited for he's huge baseball. I don't know if we're going to be on the van tonight or if we're going to be in the stadium, but we'll definitely be watching some baseball. You going to be watching the UT game tonight?
Yes, I have to tell you, last night I was sitting around watching Ole Miss and some other college baseball, and I kept looking at my watch going, okay, the Longhorn game's about to start, and I was 24 hours off. I'm like, golly. I've been playing a lot of golf lately. Here's what I've learned about golf. The more you practice, the better you get at golf.
That's weird. Oh, weird, man. Correlation.
No yeah. wonder.
You can't. I've been playing, you know, 4 times a year and seeing no improvement. But over the last couple of months, suddenly I'm starting to see some things in the golf game, Will, and you're the best golfer amongst the three of us. I'm starting to see some subtleties at the moment of truth and during the swing that have resulted in my scores going down. So I'm enjoying the game of golf right now, and I'm starting to drive the ball a heck of a lot better thanks to the great Longhorn, Kyle Jerome.
Can I give you a tip since you're sitting there, and I am the third best golfer out of three of us? How you can lower your score?
Tell me so we both may know.
Only play 9 holes.
Yeah, I've done that. It works every time.
Don't play 18. Only play 9. There you go.
I wish golf was 12 holes. Of course, it's 18 holes because that's the number of alcohol shots in a bottle of Irish Scottish whiskey. And so they had 18 holes. Robin does a great piece on the invention of golf. But I wish it was 12 holes, 6 and 6. That way those with children could probably play a little bit more golf, because when you have young kids, you really got to put the clubs up for about 12 years. You got no shot. It's just a selfish thing to do. And I wish it was 12 holes. You play 6 and 6, you're in and out, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not going to change.
Do all three of your daughters play golf, Colonel?
Negative. The middle daughter, Annie, who works over right there in Austin for Rev Gum. By the way, Rev Gum just signed a great deal with 7-Eleven. They got a big thing coming out in August with a new flavor of their caffeinated sugar-free gum. But no, the middle daughter is the one that plays golf, and her boyfriend also plays, and he's really, really good, which is embarrassing to play with him. He looks like Adam Scott. I mean, if you put them side by side, they'd look like they could be twins. He's not as good a golfer as Adam Scott, but he looks just like him, and he hits the ball really long ways.
Has he got some tall jeans in his gene pool?
All three of our girls are have serious boyfriends that are north of 6 feet, and nice. The oldest daughter is engaged to a 6'5" Oklahoma State cowboy, and we need that in the gene pool. We need a little bit of length.
Vertical.
I'm glad that you know we're going to have some 6 foot somethings down the road, but for right now, we're 5 feet eight and under.
Okay.
And under, emphasis on and under, because, you know.
Talking about that wedding plan, how's that wedding plan going there, Colonel? Just write the checks. Don't get involved. Just write the checks.
They tried. Jamie, it's funny you mentioned that. They tried to lasso me into a discussion about it last night.
Don't do it.
I had to say, listen, I really appreciate the fact that you're including me in some of this, but I have no opinion, no thought on that, and I will not be attending that particular event.
Yeah, your opinion didn't matter on that anyway. Yeah, they're really just trying to be nice, right?
Just write the
well,
checks.
Well, no, I mean, then they feigned like their feelings were hurt. and I'm like, oh, man, you don't want me involved in that because you don't want me picking out chargers and plates. And I don't mean phone chargers. If you're in the wedding planning business, you know the difference between a phone charger and a wedding charger. And I'm not going to play in that. I'm gonna take the young man fishing. We're gonna play a little golf, and as Jamie said, I'm gonna write the hot check.
That's right. Do you know? It used to be funny back in the day before really iPhones and digital pictures. Where at all the weddings, they'd always have those disposable cameras all over the place. And it's horrible. And because as a young lieutenant, we'd all get invited to our buddies' weddings, and we'd all there was just. They had to throw half of them away. I'm sorry.
Oh, jeez.
I just throw the camera away on good. Some of those tables. Yeah, I'd be like, this table doesn't get a camera.
Smart. That'd be smart.
You know? Yeah.
But that was it. It was usually you trip to a wedding and there'd be cameras all over the place.
Disposables.
Yeah, disposable.
Oh, Lord. I wonder how many kids at Kodak late at night. Just like, oh, Lord.
This is not going to be developed. I'm sorry. No.
Hey, we actually had those cameras. We'd have, you know, six or eight of them, those disposable cameras around us in some of my military assignments because you could rely on them. You, I mean, you yeah. just little spun the little clickety-click and took a picture.
Oh, yeah, they're awesome.
And they were handy when you needed to capture an image and there was no time to rely on a battery or break out some big foam unzipped little miniature suitcase loaded up with a camera lens. You just pull out the little Johnny and crank and fire off a couple happy snaps. And of course, then it took 3 months to get the thing developed.
Yeah.
And then you had to go dig through that file to see if you're, to your initial to see if it's so funny when you think about that, the developing of film. Boy, I had to take those classes. What a waste of class.
Oh, well,
I'm going to go buy some CBD gum today. Do you have any CBD gum?
Have not. No. Any good?
Well, I bought some out in Abilene. Here out in Abilene, they have CBD gum. So I bought some and it was good. And I wonder if the little 24-year-olds over there running that great company, Blake Settle, could end up putting CBD in their gum one day and have caffeinated CBD gum.
All right, Colonel, hey, we'll see you next week. You'll be up there at the aired out camp.
You bet. I'll be there. We'll see you guys on the high ground. Johnny Oates, you're the man.
Peace. And always look on the bright side of life.